there are many hobbies out there, but one a lot of people share is collecting stuff. For some reason, we're drawn to a particular kind of object, maybe some kind of antique or an easy-to-find object like pens. Earlier in the week, we asked for you to call our hotline and tell us about your collection. Here's one of your stories.
Yes, this is Larry Larson, and I'm in Wauzeka, Wisconsin. And I am a collector of collections, and a couple of my favorite collections are my wooden cigar box collection, which numbers in the neighborhood of 500 cigar boxes, and they date from 1870 to 1920, and it's the graphics, very appealing graphics. I also have a collection of Kickapoo items, Kickapoo Indian Remedy stuff, anything related to the Kickapoo Valley in southwest Wisconsin. Those are just two of a multitude of collections that I have.
Jim Drager joins us now, architectural historian and state historic preservation officer at the Wisconsin Historical Society. He also traveled Wisconsin for Your Stuff, Your Story, asking Wisconsinites to share items from their own collections. Jim, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks. Great to be here.
Well, now you're part of the Wisconsin Historical Society, a bit of a collection itself,
yes.
And you're a collector, I understand, in your own personal life. Can you tell us about your own relationship to collecting?
Well, I really started to get the collecting bug when I was in college. We started going to rummage sales, my wife and I, to be able to furnish our apartment cheaply, and we'd see really cool stuff, and we'd think, oh, that's a nickel, we have to buy that. And you know, the collections, once you have more than three of something, you're a collector. And so I started collecting all sorts of things, some of which I have today and some of which I no longer have. At one point, I had over 70 bowling shirts.
Okay.
I have over 600 vintage neckties from the 1930s to the mid-1960s.
Now, I got to ask, these are items you could wear, the bowling shirts and
yes.
the ties, maybe not
yes.
at the same time. Do
sure.
you just collect them, or do you wear them if they fit
no,
you?
No, I wear them, too.
Okay.
Yeah. The bowling shirts, I only have a couple left. I did give some to the Historical Society, to their collection. I had a couple of real prize ones. One was from the Point Beer bowling team, and I thought that just
That's
has to be
Wisconsin
preserved
history,
for
yeah.
posterity.
Now, a lot of us might have collected something as kids, the rocks or toys or baseball mm-hmm. cards. Mm-hmm. I definitely collected as a kid.
Sure.
Some of us you know, lose interest in collecting. Some mm-hmm. of us stick with it, though. Why
right.
Why do you think people like to collect particular collections?
Well, I think there are a number of different reasons why people collect. One of them is nostalgia. You know, people buy back their childhood. My youngest sister collects bubblehead Barbie dolls from the early 1960s. And because those were the dolls she played with as a kid. You know, car collectors buy back the cars that they drove when they were in high school and that sort of thing. So nostalgia is certainly a big driver. Family memory is a big thing, too. People collect things that are related to the history of their families. Sometimes people collect things because they're documenting in some way. The cigar box collection is a great example of that. He's documenting the history and the evolution of cigar boxes over time by collecting them. Some people just get obsessed with completion. You know, it's kind of an OCD kind of thing where you
got to catch them all.
You got to catch them all. Exactly.
I want to give a listen to another caller on our hotline talking about you know, looking back at how things have changed over time.
My name is Linda Schumacher. I collect antique cookbooks. My oldest cookbook is 1894, and my new ones are from the 1940s. I collect them for several reasons. I really enjoy history, and you can see a lot how women's roles have changed throughout the years, just by the way the recipes are different in all the books and the way World War II really changed things. That's when the convenience recipes started to come about. Also, one thing that really tickles me, beginning of each cookbook, there's always a picture of the modern kitchen. You'd be amazed at the difference between 1894 and 1940 as to what constitutes a modern kitchen. And the funniest thing, people who know me know that I don't like to cook. So they think it's really funny that I collect cookbooks.
And Jim, that's a great story. And also you, as we mentioned, you went on the road asking people to show you their items from their collections. Mm-hmm. What kind of things did people bring out?
It was really fascinating. It was a very, very broad variety of things. Some of the really interesting things were a young girl named Addie, who was about 6 years old, came clutching this porcelain head doll that was her great-grandmother's. Her great-grandmother brought it from Russia when she immigrated. And so, you know, it's part of the passing down of that tie to family from generation to generation. There was a man who brought in a Bible that was printed in 1816, and his family found it in the floodwaters in Dunn County in 1888. The floodwaters receded. They found this Bible, and they just thought it was an omen of some kind. So the family has kept it ever since and, you know, passed it down the family.
A lot of great stories. We're talking to Jim Drager from the State Historical Society, the Wisconsin Historical Society, talking about collecting, why we collect, what we collect. You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Let's go to your calls now. Nancy is with us in Milwaukee. Nancy, hi.
Hello. I'm a totally agnostic person, but I have an intense desire to be surrounded by angels and cherubs. And it's hard for me to explain why this might be. I suspect it has something to do with these objects offering me comfort and solace. And particularly, I feel that underneath the wings, there is a special spot for me.
Oh. Nancy, I got to ask before I let you go, have you been to the Angel Museum in Beloit?
No, but that has been on my list.
Got to go. I've been there. We talked to the curator on the show. You're going to love it. If you like cherubs and angels, you will be in metaphorical heaven there.
I am glad that you gave me that suggestion.
Thank you so much, Nancy, for calling in. Yeah, she's got that personal connection with her cherubs and angels.
Sure, sure. A lot of times what people collect comes out of a personal experience of some kind. You know, there's a deep personal connection that they've forged that's emotional in some way between the object that they collect and, you know, kind of the worldview.
Yeah, I wonder about there's kind of a snowball effect, because you said once you got three, it's a collection. But also, do you find that once somebody else knows you have three or more, like, oh, well, Jim, he collects bowling shirts. Hey, look, there's a bowling shirt at the thrift store or the garage sale. I'm getting that for Jim.
Absolutely. Yeah, my brother-in-law once had a collection of over 150 pictures of the Last Supper that began that way, and all of his friends would buy them in thrift shops and give them to him.
Does everybody want these collections? There's an Onion article years ago where somebody accidentally started a troll collection because people thought he had one and then started giving them to him. Do we stumble into these collections?
That was my brother-in-law's experience.
Funny. Let's go to another caller. Barry is on the line in La Crosse. Barry, hi.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. What are you collecting, Barry?
Well, I ended up collecting stuff from the World's Fair in Chicago, the Columbian Exhibition, and I really wasn't familiar with it. I knew that a few buildings in Chicago were remnants of the World's Fair, I guess, but that's about all I knew. Well, then I was down visiting my dad in the suburbs of Chicago once, about 30 years ago, and he gave me a ticket book. It was like a season pass for the World's Fair, and it was my great-grandfather's. And to make sure you didn't share it with anyone, they had a picture on the inside of the cover. So it was a personalized ticket book that you couldn't share with anybody, a season pass. And then when I got back to La Crosse with it, I realized I had bought, a month or two before that, I had bought a series of six or seven, like, picture books of that same World's Fair in Chicago. So then I had the ticket book and all these picture books that I had already bought, and that was the first two things, and then that's kind of how it starts. My wife bought me a deck of cards that had each card had a different, exhibit hall on the face card or whatever. And then a friend of mine gave me a glass bottle that had a really cool insignia of the World's Fair. And I've collected, I've got a spoon and a coin and all these little things that they sold at the fair for souvenirs. And it's not a huge collection. It fits in a little china cabinet thing in my basement, but it's a lot of fun when I find something in an antique shop that I'm like, whoa.
Treasure hunting. Barry, thank you so much. And that, yeah, so he's got a very specific collection,
yes.
And that makes being in an antique store, I bet, a lot of fun, or a garage sale, and you find that artifact that fits the collection.
Sure, and World's Fairs are very popular to collect because there were so many souvenirs produced and sold at them. They're rich pickings, you know, so it makes the thrill of discovery so great.
Talking to Jim Drager, architectural historian and state historic preservation officer at the Wisconsin Historical Society, talking about collections, and you can share yours at 800-642-1234. What do you collect? How did you get started? We're hearing on Facebook and elsewhere, Mary from Wild Rose collects maps of any kind. She says antique ones are best, but I'll take what I can get. State map, road atlas, park map, world map, globe, topographical map, anything. I just find them interesting. Danielle in Wauwatosa collects collector's editions, hardcovers, all the prints and bindings of books by American author Donna Tartt. Just a couple of the responses we've heard. You can join in at 800-642-1234. More of your calls coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Jim Drager is with us, architectural historian and state historic preservation officer at the Wisconsin Historical Society. We're talking about collecting, what you like to collect and why you do it. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Tell us about your collection or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Back to your calls. We've got Willie on the line in Madison. Willie, hi.
Hey. Well, I wish I could tell you about something fantastic and strange that I'm collecting. I don't collect anything except junk, and it's totally unspecified. But I have a brother. My younger brother has, I believe, as it's I've understood it, he has now all, he has a copy of, he has a 45 RPM record of every song that was in the top 20 from the years of about 58 until 72.
That sounds like it takes a lot of space, Willie. Have you laid eyes on this?
Yes, I have. It's in his basement. He has it rather well organized so he can find stuff. And if you ask him for a really obscure song, he'll know about it right away, and he'll bring it right up and play it for you. Some of his records are quite scratchy and not in great condition, but he has all of them with those specificities and quite a lot of them. And he also, he has no idea whatsoever what this collection is worth.
Willie, thank you so much. So music, I imagine, has got to be a popular collecting item, Jim.
Absolutely. Yeah, people collect different styles of music. Some people collect specific record labels. Some people collect hits like that. There are special releases of records, colored vinyl, you know, box sets that people avidly collect.
Thanks a lot for that call, Willie. We'll go next to Todd in Madison. Todd, hi.
Hello. Years ago, I was an elementary school teacher, and the kids would, when they, after summer, they'd go on vacations or during the school year, and they'd always want to bring me back something, but I didn't want it to become a contest. So I'd always ask them to bring me sand if they'd go places. And back in the day when there were film canisters, it was perfect, but everyone's labeled. It had to be exactly where it is, and I have sand. A lot of university parents, I have sand from the base camp of Everest, Antarctica, Ganges River, all over the country, too, and they're all labeled. And the interesting thing is then we'd use them in school, and you look at some of those. There's one, I forget the island in the Caribbean, but it was made up of mostly little tiny bones of fish and teeth. So it all fits in boxes, but I have a pretty big sand collection from all over the world.
That's fantastic, Todd. That's a great story, and that's a great way to connect with, in this case, his students.
Sure, yeah, really great. Todd, you really ought to visit this park in Eau Claire County that has soils from all 50 states.
Oh, do you know which park that is?
I can't remember the name of it. It's north east of Eau Claire. It's a small county park. I think if you Google it, you can probably find it.
Cool. Well, thank you so much for sharing that story, Todd. I will go next to Donovan in Madison. Donovan, hi.
Hello. Yes, my name is Donovan. I have several collections, but my most expansive collection is Godzilla's. I have over 500 Godzilla's on display in my basement, ranging in size from about an inch to 3 feet And it is a substantial collection, not only in quantity, but in its investment. And my question is, people like myself that have these, you know, rather unique collections, is there, are there places or recommendations that you can offer for people that at that certain point when you want to get rid of your collection, that you can, I don't know, donate it to a museum or a charity or some kind of a group in a way that would obviously benefit them, but mm-hmm. also, you know, possibly keep the ooh-ah of the collection intact in some way.
Donovan, thanks. And Jim, I know museums don't have infinite space, but are there options for something like this?
Well, that's a perennial issue of collectors, is what to do with your collection when you're at the end of collecting. And some people start collections like the Angel Museum in Beloit or the Quilt Museum near Cedarburg. Historical museums will generally only take the collection if it has a tie to that, to the history of the place. The Wisconsin Historical Society, we're the largest collector in Wisconsin. We have massive, massive collections, but the things that we collect are things that tell the history of the state, and we know where they came from and what the provenance of them is. So Godzilla collection is not a great prospect for our museum, but you may find that there is there are so many unique small museums now that are kind of quirky popular history museums that may take something like that. And it's a matter of just looking around and trying to find that right fit.
Good luck finding a home for your 500 Godzillas, Donovan.
We are never have enough.
Never have too many Godzillas. Talking to Jim Drager from the Wisconsin Historical Society about collecting, what people collect and why. Let's take another caller. Paul is with us in Big Bend. Paul, hi.
Hi, good afternoon. This is Paul. I'm 73 years old, and I have to tell you, I've been collecting wood stoves.
Wow.
Yeah, I've had over probably 200 or so, and I'm down to about 140. And the reason I collected wood stoves, I think, is when I started my life in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, way back when. My dad got out of the service, and there wasn't housing for a lot of these mm-hmm. soldiers. And what happened was they put the soldiers up in army barracks all over Milwaukee.
Sure.
And I lived in an army barracks on Dakota, just on the other side of Chase Avenue. And in that army barracks, they had four units to each barracks. There was pine floors with tar paper roof and the tar mm-hmm. paper siding. But in the middle of that structure was a wood burning or a coal burning stove. Mm-hmm. And I can remember running around in diapers and feeling the heat, the wonderful heat from those stoves. And ever since that time, I have been collecting. And by the way, I heat with wood 100%.
I hope so.
Absolutely. The gas company's been out here many times to check my meter.
Paul, thank you so much for sharing that story. Well, there's your nostalgia, Jim. Doesn't get more nostalgic than that for a collection.
And personal history coming
Definitely.
Out of personal experience.
Yeah, that's a big item to collect, though.
That one would require a little room.
Thanks a lot for sharing that, Paul. Denise is with us next in Sparta. Denise, hi.
Hi.
What do you want to tell us about, Denise?
Well, I collect vintage porcelain or ceramic dog figurines.
And how big a collection do you have now?
Well, it's between 150 and 175.
Wow.
Just last weekend, I was in Columbus, north of Madison, at the antique shop and scored a few more.
Now, do you have, when you're in the antique store, are you looking for any old porcelain dog, or do you have, you know, I don't have this breed, for example, yet?
Well, unfortunately, some of my dogs are duplicates, and I try not to buy any more spaniels now because I have a lot of spaniels. I try to stay away from any ones that have crazy eyes because, of course, they're all hand-painted. And if a dog figurine has crazy eyes, it's not coming to my collection.
Now I want somebody to have the crazy eye dog figurine collection.
Call in if you have that.
Because you're not competing with Denise if that's the case. Porcelain figures, I imagine there are a lot of people, whether it's cherubs, as we heard earlier, dogs, that kind of thing.
Very,
fragile,
very
got to take
common.
Care.
Very, very common because they're small. And, you know, they don't take up all that much space until you get about 150 or 175.
175 anything, you're taking up some room. Time for another call or two. Maybe Jason with us in Janesville now. Jason, hi.
Hey, how are you guys doing today?
Good. What's your collection?
Well, it's not mine, and it's my wife, and I hope she's not listening.
Uh-oh.
She has countless, I couldn't even give you a number, but she's been collecting briar horses for about 25 years, and a lot have been passed down even from her mother. And they're all in the same original boxes, never been opened, never been touched, as far as the horses themselves. Some of them date back, I believe, as far as the 50s or maybe even earlier. And I've been trying to get her to free up some of my closet space for years, but I don't think that's ever going to happen.
you support her collection, but maybe you think it's reached a peak.
Share that.
Yeah, it can be tough. A briar horse, apparently not a living horse. I was worried. Right. I had 1,000 of those around the house. Thanks a lot for that call, Jason. Running out of time here, Jim. People love collecting.
They absolutely do. Yeah, I think everyone, my personal feelings, everyone's a historian, and collecting is a way that you touch with history, whether it's personal or larger.
Jim, thanks so much for joining us today. I appreciate it.
Sure.
Talking to Jim Drager from the Wisconsin Historical Society about collecting. People are sharing their collections with us in person and over on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Mindy from Shiocton says she collects wheat pennies. They're getting harder to find. Carly from Lake Geneva collects keychains from every state she visits. Has over 30 keychains from Minnesota, to countries too, to Sweden. Share your collection with pictures if you want. You can do that over at the Ideas Network Facebook page.